TED Audio Collective.
Canva presents unexplained appearances. It was an ordinary workday until...
That presentation appeared out of thin air.
Also, it's eerily on brand.
Wait, did that agenda just write itself?
Words appear, making this unexplainable case...
Unexplainable? It's Canva's AI tools.
I can generate slides and words in seconds.
Really? The real mystery is why I'm only learning this now.
Canva.com. Designed for work.
A quick new idea, daily, from the world's greatest TEDx talks. I'm your host, Atossa Leone, and this is TEDx Shorts. The United States has a beautifully varied way of speaking English. But with such variety, culture, and personality in our uses of language, our system of English language education is often considered a strict hegemony. What happens when we stop enforcing these rules on how our students should use language? Jamila Liscott is an educator, spoken word artist, scholar, and educational consultant. And in today's talk, she looks at why bringing liberation literacy into our classrooms doesn't just honor our students' voices. It honors the principles of social justice.
What if I told you that the way that you use language every day had the power to either uphold or disrupt social injustices? What if I told you that because language is saturated with history and culture and memory, the way that it is policed within our classrooms and our communities is deeply connected to racism and colonialism? You see, when I was 19 years old, I sat on a panel for a room full of high school students. And a woman in the room stopped me in the middle of speaking and she said, I'm sorry to stop you, but I just want you to know that you are so articulate. And in that moment, she meant it as a compliment. A friend of mine next to me was like, boo. And I was offended. And most people can understand that. Most people say, well, you were offended because you're a young Black woman in this space and this woman found it exceptional that you were mastering standard English. But there's another reason why I was offended. I imagined if this woman heard me speaking with my family, who's Trinidadian, in Caribbean Creolized English, would she have determined something else about my intellectual capacity? Or if she heard me speaking with my friends in Crown Heights, Brooklyn, in African American English, would she have determined something different about my worth? And in that moment, I understood that the answer was yes. And that deeply disturbed me. It actually became the impetus for my first TED Talk, Three Ways to Speak English. It actually became the impetus for my research as a social scientist, analyzing the intersections of language, race, and power. You see, I'll share this story, and you gotta work with me, because it's about a man and a lion, and they're talking, all right? Work with me. So the man and the lion are walking through the jungle together, and they're arguing about who's the strongest. And the lion says, I'm the king of the jungle, I'm stronger than you. And the man says, I'm the king of the world, I'm stronger than you. And they're having this fruitless argument until they stumble upon a picture. And the picture is of a man defeating a lion. And the man says, you see, I told you I'm stronger than you. And the lion says, yes, but who drew that picture? What has become important to my work in working with historically marginalized communities at the intersections of language, race, and power in education is interrogating who authors the dominant narratives and the dominant framings in our societies, in our schools, in our classrooms, in our world. It's important to know that in exploring and doing this research on language, race, and power, I stumbled upon some really interesting contradictions. You see, what I know of myself is that the multiple literacies that I bring to the table, my composite linguistic identity gives me power. But when I enter into institutional spaces, into classroom spaces, that power is not valued and often stripped away. In these spaces that claim to celebrate diversity, that claim to want to celebrate diverse culture, what instead happens is a perpetual invitation to engage in cultural erasure. But I found some contradictions in exploring these questions both contextually and historically, right? So in the social context of now, one of the contradictions I found was with the McDonald's slogan. Who knows the McDonald's slogan? I'm loving it, right? I'm loving it. We know that. What I found in my research is that this slogan is participating in a feature of African-American English called consonant variation, the dropping of the letter G. This very statement, I'm loving it, this very feature, this consonant variation is something that would be corrected within a classroom space if I were to write it on my paper. Yet this billion-dollar corporation is able to utilize this linguistic practice for mass appeal and to capitalize on this cultural form of expression. These features that have been asserted and designated and researched by linguists for years have been established as features of African-American English that directly connect to the West African languages that they are historically rooted in. These language practices are valued in particular spaces, but there's a contradiction with what happens in institutional spaces, right? And there's a history here. I trouble up this issue because it is resonant with the history that is deeply rooted in racism and colonialism. It was very important to the colonial subjugation process that the language of the people who were being oppressed was divorced from the community. I work with members of historically marginalized communities, young Black people who say, yes, I engage in Black literacy practices, but in places where I feel safe. A sense of fugitivity exists there that has historical resonance in American chattel slavery, a time when it was illegal for Black people in this country to be able to read and write. A lot of that resonates with what's happening today in our classroom and in our world. There are so many ways to engage in racism, the work that I do, the research that I've done, and the practice that I engage in is framed by these principles that I'm going to share with you in a moment. The idea that the voices of these young people cannot be constrained and limited to that typical 5-paragraph essay. The power of what they have to say is so much deeper than that. We are thinking about nurturing youth voice, creating space for youth voice in our classrooms in new and in powerful ways that disrupt the historical, racist, colonial perceptions that we've upheld for too long. It has to begin with critical awareness. Who am I as a student? Who am I as an educator in the space? And what does that mean in our world? And it's not just a random awareness, but an awareness of the social identities that we each navigate, including the language practices that we bring to the table. So that I get to say, well, actually, I speak African-American English, I speak Caribbean Creolized English. There are multiple ways that I understand and articulate and name the world around me. Thinking about who you are and what your linguistic repertoire consists of. Once you go through that awareness process and you become aware that my language has power, right? Once you become aware of that, then you say, well, what kind of agency and access exists for me in the world? Because of the way that I speak, because of the tools that I bring to the table with my linguistic repertoire, There are spaces that I can access in the world. There's agency that I can have. I introduce this framework, this notion of liberation literacies, and a call to action for a paradigm shift that begins with a critical awareness of yourself and your world. Because if we do not have socially just practices in ourselves, here, in the silence, then it is impossible to have social justice in our world.
The TEDx talk you just listened to was recorded at a TEDx event in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. All TEDx events are independently organized by volunteers who believe in TED's mission of ideas worth spreading. Special thanks to the organizing team at TEDx The Benjamin School. Want to listen to more TEDx talks? Visit our website at ted.com/TEDxShorts. I'm Atossa Leone. Thanks for listening, and see you tomorrow.